The Nakabi Diaries, Season 4.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies. Alhamdulillah, I finally did it. I actually wrote a book. It's dedicated to all the single Muslim mothers out there, hence the name How to Be a Single Muslim Mum. Inshallah, it's available as an ebook, paperback, and it will be available as an audio. Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feekum, sisters, for the support. Check out the link in the description to get yours.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of the Nakabi Diaries. Alhamdulillah, we have with us another sister to share her Nakab journey with us, inshallah. Sister, could you please introduce yourself for the listeners and tell us a little bit about what you do, inshallah?
All right. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Zainab Yunusa. I am from Nigeria. My alias is Amiratul Qulub. I'm a personal blogger on Instagram. I'm also the co-founder of the Hyped Eid community, where we where we have a community of sisters from around the world to discuss Eid, how to make it memorable for the Muslim kids. We find out that in the Muslim household, we tend to look at other festivities around. So we started the Hyped Eid community to make Eid the memorable, the one and only festive event in the Muslim household.
MashaAllah, Allahumma barik. You said it's called the Hyped Eid community?
The Hyped Eid community.
MashaAllah, very good, very nice. I think that's really important, actually. So, inshallah, we'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the discussion, because that sounds like a really, really fantastic initiative. Sister, could you give us some insights into your Islamic background, inshallah, and let us know, how did you come to be wearing the niqab?
Okay, we have an Islamia in our family house. My dad is a person of... he's a person that loves Islamic knowledge, and he just opened a school in our compound in our family house. So we started learning the deen since we could talk. That's all I can say up till date. Alhamdulillah, it has not been an easy journey, because we thought he was trying to be hard on us, but now alhamdulillah, I'm really grateful to my father for pushing us to learn about the deen at a very young age, alhamdulillah. And for the niqab, even though my father was someone that loved the Islamic teachings, he wasn't someone that liked the niqab. And unfortunately or fortunately, I have always been in love with the niqab as a child. I would take my scarves and fold them to cover my face to go to school and all of that. I just found it fascinating. I used to admire people that wore the niqab then. And up until 2017, that's when I started wearing the niqab, December 2017. And I didn't look back. I started wearing it when going out of the house. And when I would come back, before entering the house, I would remove it so that my dad wouldn't see it. And on a faithful day, I came back and greeted him. He was outside. I greeted him and went into the house. Up until when I was going to my room, I now realized that, oh, I'm actually with the niqab. No wonder he was looking at me like a stranger, yeah? And he didn't say anything. Up till now, we haven't the niqab with him. Nobody from my immediate family was against the niqab. However, from my extended family, there was a lot of backlash. Why wearing this thing? You wouldn't get a husband if you wear this and all of that. All the negative comments. But I'm not a person that gets affected by people's words. Alhamdulillah. For that, so there wasn't much hindrance from there. Some of my dad's friends would say, why do you allow her to wear this? And he's like, allow her to do what she wants. So alhamdulillah, my parents were really supportive of me. And even though it was an all ladies event, I had a walima for my wedding, and it was all ladies. However, I still chose to wear my to wear my niqab, sorry. I wore my niqab, and my family members were supportive. Everyone was kind of against it. I became the topic of the town during my wedding. I got cyberbullied and all of that. But like I said, I'm not the person that gets easily affected by people's words, because when I put my mind to something and I know I'm doing it for the sake of Allah, I just forget about everyone else and look at the end goal. And that has been my motivation. At Amiratul Qulub, it's a small community. Even though it's my pen name, I used to write poems. That's how I got the name. I started blogging, just sharing a few verses, some ahadith, some life lessons as a Muslim. And then I started posting sisters at least 4 times in a year to discuss various pertinent topics. Like the previous one we had in last month was about the balance between deen and culture, where we draw the line and, you know, which way to go, like, especially with our cultural background in Nigeria, how a lot of people are still what's the word, deeply connected to their culture, even if it has some contradictions to the deen, they don't let go of it. So we discussed on how to maneuver your way around it, how to even educate the people around you about what you should do in such situations. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so I wanna take it back a little bit. MashaAllah, you said a lot of things there, so lots of interesting stuff going on. Okay, so right, so you mentioned that you started wearing the niqab in 2017. So can you just kind of break it down for us a little bit? You said you're coming from an Islamic background. MashaAllah, your father even made the Islamic school in your compound where you live. For those of us who are listening who don't understand the concept of compound, in West African countries, usually we have homes with, you know, that have like maybe a wall around it, but it's like a piece of land. You know, you have your land and you have your home, and there could be several buildings within a compound. Yeah, so that's like what you call the compound. Because obviously in the UK, the setup is quite different. So yeah, so alhamdulillah, Allah mabarak, you've got your own Islamic school within the compound. Your father ensured that you had a good Islamic education. So at this young age, while you was growing up, you know, what I'm understanding from it is that you was accustomed to wearing the hijab from a young age as well. So I take it that was encouraged by your father, the actual wearing of the hijab itself, but not specifically when it came to the niqab. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. That's absolutely correct. Okay. Whenever we would go out, he would always tell us to cover up and all of that. Where I attended a mixed school, it was a circular school, and the uniform was kind of short. However, he would make us get bigger uniforms, and we would actually just mix minor what's the word, minor adjustments to fit us.
Okay,
but it would like, I got bullied for that, for wearing the long skirt and the baggy shirts, because most of my mates and most of the students in the school I attended, even though they collected uniforms that were their sizes, they would still go ahead to trim them down to look, you know, smaller. Yes.
Oh, subhanAllah. So they do that there too, is it? SubhanAllah. I remember in the UK when we was going to school, and I went to a Christian school, Church of England, and subhanAllah, that was what used to happen. And even in the Catholic girls' school down the road, it was the same thing. You know, you have these big skirts as the uniform when you go and buy them, but the girls would always, like, they would either roll them up to be short, or some of them would like cut them, you know. Yeah, subhanAllah.
They would cut the skirts and actually fit them to fit them down. However, I would wear my baggy uniform and keep going. There was a time I remember when a student, she was my classmate, she called me after school hours and was like, "Why do you wear your uniform like this? Can't you at least cut the skirt and trim it. Even your socks are long. You don't wear the ankle, big ankle socks were trending then. And all of that, I was like, this is how I want to dress. What is it your body? It's not your body. This is how I want to dress. But it didn't get to me really, because I was used to it. I've been used to covering up. Whenever I would wear something tight and fitting, I would always feel uncomfortable. Even when before I started wearing the jilbab and abayas, I used to wear my cultural attire. I'm Hausa, and we would wear skirts and blouses and veils all over. Those days, I used to make gowns. With my Ankara, I would make gowns, free gowns, and I would use big sized veils, where usually is the married woman that use them in Nigeria. If you so A lot of people's perception when you cover up is you are married. That's the first thing that comes to their mind mostly. So a lot of people would say, "Ah, you wear all these big veils. How would people know you are not married and all of that?" And Alhamdulillah, at that time, I had joined some Islamic organizations that used to organize halakas and all of that. So I was getting more knowledge of the deen, and I had a better understanding of the deen then. So it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me. I kept going, and Alhamdulillah, I am where I am today.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Okay, so mashallah, sounds like it definitely had a journey there. So what age would you say you were when you actually started wearing hijab, like full time, properly hijab?
Properly hijab, let's say around 2018, 20, yes, 2018. Sorry, Afwan, not 20, 2017, when I started wearing the niqab.
So you wasn't wearing hijab full time before that?
No, I would cover up, but it wasn't the hijab. I would wear my Ankara and I would cover up, but it wasn't the proper hijab.
Alhamdulillah. All right then. So let us tell us about your first experiences with the niqab. Where did you get your first niqab? And actually, like, you said you used to see people wearing the niqab as well, and you always find it fascinating. So in your community, which women did you kind of come into contact with or see that was wearing the niqab? Because I'm trying to understand like the differences, because obviously, like you said, that there's some people that, there wasn't too kind of they didn't find it appealing, or they didn't like the idea of the niqab, and question it, and they associate it with being married and things like that, or have other negative like kind of connotations to go with it. So, but you've obviously seen some women wearing the niqab. So which kind of women, when would you see these kind of women that was wearing the niqab?
In Nigeria, in the northern part of Nigeria, wearing the niqab was more common than Abuja is actually. I live in Abuja, which is the capital, the federal capital territory, of Nigeria. I live here, and it's not common to see niqabis here. It wasn't common, actually. It wasn't, but now you see a lot of niqabis, Alhamdulillah. So, in my hometown, a lot of people actually wear the niqab. Sometimes some people just wear it to when they're going out. Some other times they wear it when they're getting married and they have to do the skincare and all of that so they don't get the sunburn. And a lot of different reasons people wear the niqab. However, I would listen to lectures, and I started following someone on Instagram. There's Aisha bint Mahmoud. She's now my very good friend, Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, mashallah. I spoke to her in season one, Allahumma barik. She's lovely, sister, Allahumma barik.
Yes. Okay, so she's now a friend. She used to inspire me. And then there's Naima Roberts, inspired
Yes,
me as
alhamdulillah.
well.
Well, everyone knows her. She's mashallah, very popular, very famous, our famous niqabi, Allahumma barik.
And then quite a number of people, I can't even mention their names, but Whenever I would see a niqabi, I like freak out. I'm fangirling. Oh my God, a niqabi. I still do that.
Mashallah.
When I see a niqabi in Abuja where I live, I'm like, yes, a niqabi. And I just get so
Alhamdulillah.
excited.
Okay, mashallah. So you was seeing niqab in the your hometown in the north and also online and things like that. Okay, so where did you get your first niqab from? Was it you, did you buy it from the north? Like what kind of stages did you go to prepare yourself for wearing it?
I actually started folding my veils to make a niqab. That's how I started. And
MashaAllah,
where did I get my first niqab from? I think a cousin bought me a niqab, a maroon one, if I can recall. Yes. And also an aunt, she lives in Kaduna, and a lot of people wear the niqab in Kaduna because most of the Islamic schools in Kaduna, you have to wear a niqab. It's part of their uniform. So she got me some from there as well. And I also got some from Pure Esteem. It's a brand that sells hijabs, niqabs, and other
yes,
accessories.
mashallah. I know their sisters as well. Allah Mubarak. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So you've got all the connections. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah. Mashallah. Okay, so when you first put the niqab on, like when you actually bought a niqab, not you're using your veil to, cover your face, like, and you went out the first time, how was your experience? Because obviously, like, there's wanting to wear something and then there's actually then putting it on. Like, how did it feel for you? And I'm just giving you an example. When I started wearing the niqab, because I also had similar experience to you in that I really wanted to wear it for the longest time, and I used to use my scarf to cover my face and things like that. But I hadn't actually got an A niqab. So SubhanAllah, it was quite difficult wearing the niqab for the first time, because the one that I had, the fabric was really bad and I couldn't breathe very well through it. So that wasn't the most positive experience for me, but I was still happy to wear it, and I still, like, it didn't put me off wearing it basically. So how was it for you in your first time going out with the niqab on?
SubhanAllah, I just remembered my first niqab belonged to my late mom. She went for, I think, Umrah or Hajj and got a niqab from Saudi. So she was unpacking her stuff and I saw it and she gave it to me. But she told me that my dad didn't really like it. So that's why she has been keeping them in the box. But I took them, two of them, two black niqabs. I remember now. So the niqabs were really comfortable, the ones I started wearing. However, along the way, I got one that I felt like suffocating after wearing it. So up till now, I still have it, but it's just there for decoration. Because I can't even give it out to someone. I don't know how. Maybe it might suffocate them, so I just kept it. I look at it and I'm like, oh, okay. Now some of my friends call me a niqab expert, and because I tell them, oh, there's butterfly, there's single layer, there's this one, there's this niqab, and they're like, oh, how do you know about all the different types of niqabs? And I'm like, I did my research. So alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah, mashallah. There's really so many different types, isn't there? And it's down
Yeah.
to it's good to try them out so that you can find out what suits you best as well, like what you feel most comfortable in,
Exactly.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So
Exactly.
since wearing the niqab, would you say that you faced any abuse for wearing it? You mentioned that you're living in Abuja and there's more and more niqabis, in the city now, alhamdulillah. But have you ever experienced any abuse for wearing the niqab?
Yes, especially when I'm driving on the road. We have a lot of different types of drivers in Nigeria. God. So some people will be like, you are covering your eyes. You can't even see. Why are you driving the car? And all of that, things like that. And sometimes when you stop at the traffic light, you clearly know that people are staring at you. Some are ogling at you, especially kids from other cars. I turn around and I see kids staring at me, and they're like, all even saying, Mommy, look at this person. What is she wearing? And I go ahead to just tell them, I'm dressed like Batman. Hello, how are you? And just make fun of the situation. Sometimes I wave at people when they stare at me. Clearly they're staring at me. I just wave at them and drive off, sometimes they don't even realize that the light color has changed at the traffic. So things like that. Or you, sometimes there was a time I went to the market to get some shoes, and the guy was like, I said, I was with my sister, she was wearing the jilbab, and I told her, oh, look, this shoe is even dirty. And the guy was like, oh, you're the dirty people. I'm even sure that you don't even have the money to buy the shoes. You cannot afford it and all of that. And
wow, subhanAllah.
We went away to a different vendor. We bought the shoes. And when we were, I was the one that drove the car. So when we were driving out of the market and he saw us driving, he was like, Hajiana, you be this? Like, oh, is this you? So he was the one, So he assumed I didn't have money to buy his shoes. And he now saw me driving a car. So things like that.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So what about in when you're traveling around the country? Have you faced any abuse while traveling? And have you done any traveling outside of Nigeria with the niqab at all?
I have actually traveled to just a few states within Nigeria and to just a few countries abroad as well, which the United Kingdom. I went to Bradford and Leeds last year. I didn't face any challenges, I must say. And also Dubai and Saudi, that's not a problem, right? So in Nigeria, I've only traveled to the northern states, Kano, Kaduna, Jigawa, Bauchi. I have been to Maiduguri, but that was before starting the wearing the niqab, so that's even out of the question. And then Lagos State, and alhamdulillah, even in Lagos there are a lot of people that wear the niqab there as well.
Mashallah. Inshallah. So you've really done quite a fair bit of traveling there, mind the niqab, alhamdulillah. So even when you went to the airport, you didn't have any kind of issues in the UK or anywhere else?
No, not really. Not that I can recall.
Alhamdulillah. Okay then. So I want to talk a little bit about your initiative that you started for Eid. Can you talk a little bit more about that and kind of what got you started off with it? And, you know, like when did you start it, basically? Your High Eid, is it called High Eid Community?
Hype.
Hype, yeah?
HYPED.
Hype to Eid, okay, great. Yes, so Hype to Eid Community, okay. Yalla, inshallah, bismillah, let's go. Let's see, tell us what all about it.
Okay. Started in 2020, I think, yes. Just on WhatsApp, a friend was craving cake and she was like, wait, I want to eat cake. Why don't we have cake for Eid? Like, you know how we are trying to get off birthday cakes. Why don't we have cake for Eid? And I replied her and said, yes, that sounds like a good idea. We could have a group so that we can discuss about Eid, you know, to motivate each other. In Nigeria, we celebrate Eid, especially in the north. There's the carnivals, the festivities there. But as we grow older, we tend to just relax with the celebrations. We just sometimes wear new clothes, and that is it. We don't feel the hype, you know. So we started with the community on WhatsApp. It started as a WhatsApp group. I added my friends. She added hers, and we were discussing, okay, decorations, DIYs. We sent some videos. We even got some people that were crafty on the platform. They came in with their expertise, and we thought we could go bigger with it. We expanded to Instagram, where we were posting ideas, and we were posting different things from the platform. And last year, we had a bazaar, a fun fair during Eid. That's the maiden edition community bazaar. And alhamdulillah, it was a success. We In Nigeria, there are a lot of conferences happening around all year round. But ours was different because there was no lewd music. We just had the nasheed. We had Quran competition for the kids. We did a lot of fun activities. There was archery, there was painting, there was crafts. We had a virtual reality games, and then we even sold exhibition booths for vendors. Also on the community, we have our vendor community as well, because there are a lot of business owners, so we give them the avenue to
Okay,
showcase what.
mashallah.
Pardon?
Fantastic.
Are you?
I was just saying,
Okay.
mashallah, it sounds really amazing.
Yes, so for example, I can ask on the group, oh hi, I'm in Kano and I'm looking for a vendor that makes cakes. I want to make cake for this Eid. And everyone that sells, we have collated before on the group, it was just like, oh, I sell cake, I sell cake, I sell cake. But it was becoming too rowdy. So we created a form for all the vendors to register, and we categorized them and posted on our Instagram page. So when you go on our Instagram page, on the highlights, you see the list of vendors over there for the different locations. Thank you.
Mashallah, mashallah, so very well organized then, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And also last just before Ramadan 2024, Ramadan 1444, we had an event for kids ages 3 to 15 years. We called it Hekmania, the Hyped Community Mania, the Hyped Ramadan Experience, where we hosted the
Wow.
kids, fun activities from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. with a lot of fun activities. We prayed, we ate, we had fun. There was scavenger hunt, cutting. We made Ramadan crowns, we made buntings, and we had jars, charity a day jar. We also had du'as there, and they had a lot of fun. And inshallah, this Ramadan, just the last weekend before Ramadan, we'll be having Hekmania 2.0, where we'll host another set of kids to get them hyped for Ramadan. Because we started with Ramadan, because when the kids don't understand what Ramadan is, how do you explain Eid al-Fitr to them? Do you get? So we now started bringing the hype to Ramadan, and then Eid al-Fitr, and then Eid al-Adha, and inshallah, we hope to grow bigger.
Inshallah, inshallah, and may Allah put much barakah in it. It sounds amazing and really fun, subhanAllah. I think sometimes, I think, like obviously, like Nigeria's got, there's Muslims, there's Christians, so it's like a mixed, religious community there. But I think, and as even coming from the UK as well, I think for some places, maybe like, Muslim countries, they might not understand when, we have to, if you're living in a country that's not like a Muslim country or predominantly Muslim, like you have to make that extra effort to, kind of celebrate Eid and things like that, especially when you move to a town where you're not like the Muslims aren't the majority, because like it's easy to, kind of, especially you when you grow as you get to be an adult, you're not a child anymore, and or maybe if your children are grown up, for example, it's easy to kind of get into a habit of not making a big deal about AIDS, and it's important for the children, especially for the young ones. And I think those of us even whose children maybe who have already grown up, there's it's having something like what you started as a way to reintegrate those sisters and even brothers back into, creating the hype around Eid and making it something exciting so they can also get involved, even though their children have grown. Because inshallah, they will be having their own grandchildren soon, and it's something we, it's traditions that we need to carry on to make our children feel that excitement about Eid, because this is our days of celebration. And especially for those of us who, don't celebrate birthdays as well. And obviously, if our children are going to mixed schools where there's maybe Christians or people who are celebrating other
Festivities.
religions, festivities, it's important to have the Eid. We have to make sure that we, like do its justice. Let the kids be excited about it. So That sounds, it sounds like an amazing idea, alhamdulillah. Really, really nice.
That was the push. That was because we want to bring the hype back. We want Eid to be hyped. This is the only time we celebrate as Muslims. So let's do it in a grand way. And alhamdulillah, from the community, you could see a lot of people have given their reviews that their kids look forward to Eid. Even they themselves look forward to Eid. And something we also do at the Hyped Eid community, we, you know, for Eid al-Adha is about the sacrifice. And in Nigeria, we all fry our meat and it gets hectic. By the time Eid al-Adha is over, most of the women are tired and exhausted because all they did during that period was fry meat. Some even take 3 days working around Eid. So they don't get to celebrate it. So we hosted a chef, Chef Hafsi, and she gave us some meal prep tips for Eid and for Ramadan as well. Yes, we did that in Ramadan, how to make Ramadan easy.
That's fantastic, because that's another problem I think for a lot of sisters, even in the UK, have this issue with Ramadan. Obviously we're fasting during Ramadan, but you know, some sisters, it's known that in some communities they spend literally the whole day in the kitchen just preparing food for iftar, and you think, subhanAllah, well, we're supposed to be fasting, and by the time iftar comes, like, you know, there's a massive feast on the table, and this is where people fall into, unfortunately, the bad habit of overeating at the iftar time as well, you know, which is not very healthy. But you know, the excitement of getting food when you've not eaten for the whole day, obviously, like, you know, can like take over one's mind, subhanAllah. And you know, so this is part of the issue as well. Some sisters, because of spending a lot of time in the kitchen, they don't get much time for ibadah. And as well, you know, if you've been in the kitchen all day, by the time you've had your iftar, you're tired, and it makes it hard to even, you know, continue with ibadah in the nighttime and having energy for taraweeh and these kind of things. So it's important to have these practical tips, time-saving tips for being in the kitchen, you know, all these meal prep ideas and stuff like that. Alhamdulillah, it's a good way to, you know, help sisters manage their home lives a lot better, inshallah. Okay, mashallah. So I think you said you've got your online community, so we definitely have to share that in the description box for other sisters, because even if they're not in Nigeria, maybe they can also get, you know, or use the similar ideas how you've, you know, gone about setting up your thing, so wherever they live, they could also start the same initiative, inshallah, because I think that's a really, really, really good idea, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So I just posted the Instagram handle,
the fantastic. Yeah, that's great. I've saved that, alhamdulillah, barakallahu feekum. Okay, alhamdulillah. So back to talking about the niqab. So you mentioned in the beginning, like with regards to you mentioned about your walima. Actually, I wanted to ask you about that. You said that, so obviously some people thought that when you start covering your face, you wouldn't be able to get married and all, you weren't able to find a job. So did you, I know you obviously you did get married. I wanted to ask you two questions. How did you get a job? And when you got married, like how did you actually manage to find a husband?
My husband is a family friend. He's a family friend. We have been close for ever since childhood. So I went to visit his sister. He saw me after years and he's like, oh, okay. He got my contact from his sister and we got talking.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So I take it that he was happy with you wearing the niqab. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I always ask these questions because obviously there's some young sisters that are listening sometimes, and this is one of the fears or one of the kinds of you know, like assumptions that are made, that, you know, that kind of people use to try to put them off, you know, adopting the niqab when they're not married. So I think it's important, so you know, like those of us who have been able to get married while wearing the niqab, like share our, you know, experiences or stories of that, so that people can know that, you know, it's Allah that's going to find your husband, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, barakallahu feekum. Okay, so what about working as well? Have you done any kind of work with the niqab as well?
Yes, I have gotten a work, however, Not with the niqab. I was wearing the niqab for the job. However, they don't allow it at my workplace. So instead, I wear a face mask at the office, and when I come out, I wear my niqab.
Okay, mashallah. So, mashallah, sister,
However,
that's innovation right there. You've managed to work your way around it, alhamdulillah.
during COVID, I was wearing my niqab because everyone was wearing a
Alhamdulillah.
face mask. Nobody would even raise qu any questions or concerns about the niqab until post-COVID when it's not mandatory to wear the face mask. That's the questions started coming. Why do you cover your face? And all of that. Some people felt threatened, and I was called in saying that people, my colleagues feel threatened about my covering, so I need to take it off. Or do I have anything to say?
SubhanAllah.
It's fine, no problem. And when I'm wearing the face mask, nobody's saying anything about it because it's a face mask, obviously. Some people
And you're
tease
late.
me.
SubhanAllah, it's crazy, isn't it? You was wearing the niqab during the COVID and nobody had a problem. But as soon as you don't have to wear a face mask, now the niqab is a threat for them, is it? SubhanAllah.
It is. I even during COVID, I made a post and said, how hypocritical is man that now we're all covering our faces. I hope that when COVID is over, we don't go back to telling people off when they wear the niqab, and it's happening really. And it's,
SubhanAllah.
and when you remember that man is insan indeed, so we have forgotten that we were all niqabis at one point, even the men. We are, they have forgotten. Yes, I do. People tease me that am I trying to bring back COVID because I'm wearing face mask all the time and I just ignore them. Sometimes I try to throw back the joke at them and all of that, so
SubhanAllah. So what kind of work do you do, sister?
I work with the government. I'm a civil servant.
Alhamdulillah. 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 So would you, are there other like sisters, Muslim women who are also doing the same work where you work? And I'm like, do they wear hijab or are they also wearing niqab as well?
The abaya and the veil is allowed. You can wear, you can cover
Okay.
up. However, it's just the niqab that had a problem.
Okay, so on that note, would you say that you feel that sisters who wear the niqab get treated differently from sisters who wear the
Generally,
hijab?
people that wear the niqab are put on a pedestal. And I always tell people, just because you see me wearing the niqab does not mean I am closer to Allah than you, or I am an alima or a sheikha or a learned person. I'm a student of knowledge. I am nowhere near perfect. I'm not perfect. So when you see me doing something with my niqab, don't blame the niqab. Blame Zainab. Zainab is the one doing it, not the niqabi, not the deen. But yes, people that wear the niqab are treated differently.
SubhanAllah. So and would you say that the niqab was a barrier? And if so, in which sense?
Honestly, it's not a barrier for me. Alhamdulillah for being in a country that has that is Muslim populated. There are more Muslims in Nigeria than any other religion. And well, I'm not on from my own end, it's not a barrier really. I don't know if it's from my mindset that nothing can stop me, even whatever happens, happens. There was an incident though that someone asked me how I see with the niqab on. That was when I even started with, how do you see with this thing on your face? And I'm like, okay, there's this notion that people from the north, not the northern that in Nigeria that people from the north are illiterate. To top it all, I'm wearing the hijab and the niqab. I just looked at the person and said, do you know that I have a degree in software engineering? I'm a software engineer. And I am that with my niqab. So just because I'm covering my face does not block my senses. It does not affect anything that I do. I just choose to cover. And the person was like, oh, I see. You mean to say you're a software engineer? And I said, yes, I am. So, oh, okay. And the conversation died.
SubhanAllah.
I saw the respect. I have never interacted with the person, so I don't even think she thought I could speak English. Again, the notion that the Northern Nigerian person is an illiterate, he doesn't know English, he doesn't know anything, and all of that. We only know about cows and farming and animals. But her perspective changed. And ever since, she would say, hi, how are you? Whenever she sees me. It was no longer the side, the bombastic side eyes. It was greeting.
And you know what I find sad, I think, just in, you know, being in West Africa in general, is this kind of perception in that we have about farmers. I think that's just bad on its own, you know, like that we look down on people who do farming and who are actually the ones growing food and things like that. Because SubhanAllah, food is important for everybody. And I think that, you know, we're blessed in West Africa, like a lot of our lands are so fertile and the food grows very quickly and easily. And, you know, but yet the people who are, you know, working hard to make, you know, this happen, look down on, you know, and, you know, we all need to eat, you know, SubhanAllah. So even if somebody hasn't been educated in the, in you know, like Western terms, or, you know, gone to university and these things, doesn't mean that the person is ignorant or foolish, you know, if they're coming from a family or farming and things like that, because there's a lot of benefits from farming, and especially these days, like with, you know, there's a lot of knowledge that, you know, people are missing because they haven't, or they've neglected, you know, this kind of knowledge of nature and farming and how to grow food, like, you know, the most effective way, like which foods to grow together, all these, there's so plants upon there, there's like so much like knowledge in agriculture that has been lost because people are not you know, paying attention to it. And, you know, I know there's some places in some Western countries where they're trying to rediscover these things now to make the most of growing food naturally and, you know, to be most beneficial and, you know, without using, like, for example, pesticides or artificial fertilizers and stuff like that. But we're losing these things in Africa because we don't take farming seriously and we think that it's something lowly and, you know, like we look down on people who do that, and it's not the right attitude to have, SubhanAllah. It's sad. Have you met any sisters who would like to wear the niqab, but they're not allowed to wear it?
No.
Okay, alhamdulillah. And what about sisters who are forced into wearing it? Have you ever met one?
No, I haven't.
Okay, alhamdulillah. And what advice would you give to sisters who are contemplating wearing the niqab?
My advice would be to set your intentions right, to get it right. Whatever you want to do, do it for the sake of Allah. If you want to wear the niqab, do it for the sake of Allah. Do your research about it. Have a good reason on why you want to wear it, and just do it.
Inshallah. And lastly, sister, what does the niqab mean to you?
The niqab means quite a lot to me. It means security. It means watching myself. Because, you know, when you wear the niqab, you find yourself being conscious of whatever it is that you do. And it makes me, yes, it makes me mindful of what I do and what I say and how I do things. And it's a constant reminder for me to do things for the sake of Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feek. And thank you so much, sister, for giving your time today and, you know, doing this interview with us. I really appreciate it. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you, Barakallahu Feekum, for all the good work you've been doing. We appreciate you.
Ameen. Wa'ayyakum, sister. So, inshallah, take care. And definitely, we're going to put the links to your, you know, Hype to Eid and everything in the description box so sisters can get access and, you know, learn something as well, inshallah, and take part. And hopefully, you know, do the same thing where they live or get involved in, you know, your community that you've already got established, inshallah.
Inshallah. I look forward to welcoming you at the Hype to Eid community.
Inshallah, I would love it. Yes, definitely. Inshallah.
All right.
Barakallahu feekum, sister. Have a blessed evening, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.